It's been up and afternoon vibe. I'm in Alan. You are just starting off the sugars, the stories about the council of camps and the Gemara's. So it's picking up on Nunvavim and Aleph. The first one line is Shadrach Elavayu, which is a little more than a third of the way down. First one line is Shadrach Elavayu. So towards the end of that line, Havuba Hano Klasi Asiris. So we mentioned very good Shia last week. There were three very wealthy people who lived in Yerushalayim during the time of the siege. Nagdima Ben Gurion and Ben Kalba Savua Ben Titzta Keses. So these are the three interesting names of these individuals. Why would they call this? Nagdima Ben Gurion, Shenachta Lo Chama Bavuro. This is referring to a whole miracle that happened. The Gemara references Titus about how once the sun shone special in his schus, Ben Kalba Savua, why in the world was the individual called Ben Kalba Savua? It's called Nichnas the Beisab, Kshurav Kikelev, Yotzik Shusavea. He was such a machis orchim, you know, when somebody would come into his house as hungry as a dog, they would leave out satiated. So Ben Kalba, dog, Savua, the Lashon of Sevilla, being full. Ben Titzah Keses, why in the world was the third person called Ben Titzah Keses? Shoyz the Titzah de Greres Agabi Kisosos, that is, his titzis was so long that they would schlep along on the floor. You get the amr that those who say Shaisa Kisasa will tell us that Dali Romi. Some say that he was called Ben Titzah Keses because his, from Lashon Kisei, that is his chair, he had a special chair by some of the royal people in Rome. He had a lot of influence in the government. The bottom line is there were three rather wealthy people, and they decided they're going to get together to support the Jewish community in Yerushalayim. The Romans had surrounded them with the siege. So Chan Omar, so one said, Chan Omar, so one said, I'm going to provide all the wheat and all the barley for all the people in the siege. Another one said, I'm going to provide all the wine, I'm going to provide all the salt, I'm going to provide all the oil. And the third said, now I'm going to provide with the wood, that the wood, so you can't cook the food.
Just a quick question. Is there a payment that titzis go on the floor?
Oh, so someone will arrive this Gemara. Yeah. Someone will arrive this Gemara. You see that it's okay that the titzis long and there's stuff on the floor. Yeah. So it's not usually so to get the mice for us. It's not so long, but someone will want to bring a wrap this Gemara. Yeah. So the Chana of the TV. So the third one said that he's going to provide the wood. So the Chachamim said that the one who was offering to provide the wood, that was the most significant of all. The Rav Chisda called a Kalibi of a muscle of Shami by the TV. That Rav Chisda would hand over all the keys to all his storages, all his treasure chests. He would delegate to other people, except for the TV. The wood, that was the most important one. Bottom line is, you don't have the wood, you can't eat the houses, you can't eat the houses, you can't cook the food, you can't do anything if you don't have wood. The Yomer of Chizda, Akalba Dechite Barshisa Akalba Detzivi. So he said that it's better to have the 60 times of the wood than the wheat. The bottom line is, the wood is more important. Havu Lemezat Esibachat Shasa. They had enough between the three of them to support Yerushalayim for 21 years. The problem was, there were a group of people in Yerushalayim at the time who were called the Biryonim. And the Biryonim wanted to fight against the Romans. This was a big, big political fight that was taking place right before the time of the Churban. How exactly should we relate to the Romans? So the Chacham at the time wrote the opinion that we're not going to overcome the Romans anymore. Just the Roman Empire was too powerful. Let's try to make some kind of a peace arrangement for them, and that way, hopefully, they'll let us keep the base of Mikdash. We'll let us live in Eretz Yisrael. We'll try to, we'll pay our taxes. We'll listen to what they have to say, and we're not going to have an armed uprising. And there were individuals who were against that, and, who were not willing to listen to the Chachamim, and they started all kind of different, different violence against the Romans, and unfortunately didn't have a very good ending to it. So the Biryoni, Amlu Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan said to these Biryonim, Nevuk Benavid Shlama Vadayim, let's go out of the siege, let's go make an appeal to the Romans, and we'll try to make some kind of a peace deal with them. So Lo Shef Kinum, so the Biryonim wouldn't let them do it. So if I get the opposite, rather be Yonim said, Nefil could have a cover about that. Let's go fight the Romans. So Amru Rabbanu lo mistayim milsa. So the Chacham said, it's not going to work. So you're not going to succeed. You're going to lose anyway. And it's better than we should have a little call. It's all a purse, a little bit of a salvation. So Kamu Kalinu, I know, Amkwe Dechidi with Syrah. So what did the Biyonim do? So they themselves went ahead and they destroyed the storehouses. So they figured that as long as you had all that food and wood and everything, so then people wouldn't be so desperate. So they wanted they wanted to make the people more desperate by destroying their own. They killed their own brothers. They basically destroyed their own food supplies in order to force a confrontation with the Romans. So Bahava Kafna, there was a tremendous famine now in Yerushalayim. And Gemara tells a tragic story about one individual in Yerushalayim, just to highlight the degree of how bad the situation was. Marissa, the daughter of Baisos, was one of the wealthy women, the wealthy families in Yerushalayim. Shadrusa the Shlucha, so she sent her messenger, Ramalei, she said to him, Zil Aisali Smida, so go to the store, go to the shuk, to the market, and get me some very, very good flour. So he does like the highest quality flour. So at the Ozol, when he went to the market, by the time he got to Izdabin, so there was no good flour, no clean flour to get. Also, so he came back. So he told him that you're not going to get the grade A flour, grade B, the next kind of good flour. So he said, okay, so isolate. So he said, go, I'm hungry, get me something. At the Ozol, as he went back to Shuk later that day, Izdabin. So even that second, the great flour was no longer around. Also, so he came back and he told, listen, I can't get you B, I can't get you C, I can get you the next more coarser kind of a flour. So I gotta eat. So give me something. The also is again, by the time he went back to the store, even that was done. Also, he said there's barley. And now barley flour, I'm not talking about barley for children, but barley flour was basically Mecha Behema. Human beings didn't really eat that. That was a Mecha Behema. That's what the first should explain, that the korban that we bring on Pesach is korban to Omer. The korban we bring on Shavuos is korban chitim, is wheat. What's the difference? Why do we bring an animal korban on Pesach and a human korban on Shavuos? Because without the Torah, so we haven't got the Torah yet. We're just free. Just because you left the freedom, you can be a free animal also. So you need the Torah in order to elevate you from being. So it's the same story that's going on over here. So now she said, Nebuchadnezzar, what are you going to do? At least I need that. So keep it in the Sari. So Amalek Zil Isolate, the Ozil, of course, we can figure out the end of the story, is the one. So even that was gone. So there was nothing for it again. Again, we're talking about the wealthy, prominent families in Yerushalayim. So have a shlifa masana. So she took off her shoes. Amra Abram Echse. She said, "I'm going to go see in Mishkachana Midian Lemechel. She's going to go see whether I could find something myself to eat." Esavla Parsa Bekara Umesa. So as she was walking towards the shuk, so her foot touched something, an animal dung, something very, very obvious. She just collapsed, and she never had. I'm not sure exactly medically what happened to all the mice. She and all this, whatever happened, like she actually died. So Karyla Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon
says so he would have thought after the second time.
He would have figured out what it was. It wasn't so bright. So Karyla Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said that that this pasuk in Sefer Devarim and Parshas Kisav and the Tokacha was almost referring to her personally. The pasuk says, in describing the tragedies that could have befallen Jewish people, so it says that the delicate women, those who are used to the tanugim, they're used to very, pleasurable kind of life, that they never walked out of the house. So they're going to be also going to suffer as well. Ikin the Amr, there's another different version of the end of the story. That what happened to her at the very end was Grogris Rabbi Tzadok Ochla, that she ate the leftover figs of Rabbi Tzadok. I was going to explain in a moment what those figs were. She left over those she ate the leftover figs of Rabbi Tzadok. This Nisa, and some terrible thing happened to Umesa, and she died from that. So it's not 100% clear what the final trigger of her death was, but it's a tragic story. And again, it highlights the terrible degree of famine that was taking place in Yerushalayim, and the Gemara says that the people who caused that famine never were our own Jews. The Rabbi Tzadok Yosim Abban Shon. So now the Gemara references back to the story of Rabbi Tzadok. So Rabbi Tzadok was a Kohen at the very end of Baisheni, one of the Tanoim Rabbi Tzadok, and he fasted Abban Shon in the Tanisa the Lech of Yerushalayim. He realized already years in advance that the Beis Hamikdash was going to be destroyed. And he began to fast for 40 years. And yeah, he fasted every single day, whatever he fasted. He passed it for 40 years. Yerushalayim should be saved. He had an ochel midei. He was when he would eat, so he was so skinny from all the fast. Having this chazim avroy, you can literally see like his throat was so thin. You can ever see the food going down. When he would start to get healthy, he would start to take care of him. Maisel grogerus. The doctor suggested that he grogerus eats a figs. A little bit of medical, a little bit of sugar content, whatever it was. He would start to eat the figs. Maya, but
in those days, figs were used the way we view prunes.
But, oh, got it. Okay, could be. Okay. So he was. Well, he couldn't even swallow the figs. He was so difficult for him to eat. He would just simply drink the fig juice or something. They would just give him bites of lowest bites, mayu, mayau, bishadu. And then he would throw out the pulp of the fig itself. And she somehow she found these figs lying around the street. She picked them up and she started to eat them. As she was dying, so she took whatever gold and silver she had and she threw it down in the street. What do I need this for? What do I need the gold and silver anymore? And that's what the Pasuk was referring to. That literally the silver they throw into the streets demonstrate that it doesn't mean anything. If I want to go there, we're dying. So the silver and gold silver is not going to help them too much. So now the Gemara continues the story about these people who were in Yerushalayim, the group that were fighting with the Chachamim and wanting to make wage war against the Romans. So Abba Sikra Reish B'Yonad Yerushalayim. So his name was Abba Sikra. He was the head of the B'Yonad. You know, was the name of this group. So he was the head of them. But Achseid Rabbi Yechim Ben Zakeh. He happened to have also been the nephew of Rabbi Yechim Ben Zakeh. We're a fairly small nation, so we're usually related to each other. So even people who necessarily not, who don't see eye to eye with you, pair off and end up to be a cousin or something. So here you had two people. Rabbi Yechim Ben Zakeh was a leader of the Chacham. He was the head of the base of the head of the Sanhedrin at this time. So he was the one who was the Rosh HaMedabrim, that they should try to make peace with the Romans. And here he had his own nephew, who was the head of the Bionim, the ones who tried to fight against the Romans. So Shalach Lei. So Rabbi Yochman Zakeh sent a message in private to his nephew to come visit his uncle. He said, please come. Obviously, this was the top secret. But the last place that this head of the Rionim wanted to be known was that he was talking directly with the head of the Chachamim. So Tabit Sidna Gabai. Also, Amalei Emas Abdi Sohachi, at least lady Abba Kafna. So Rabbi Yochman Zakeh gave Musa to his nephew. He said, how much longer are you gonna kill your own people with famine? Look what's going on. You guys are destroying the story. You're burning the only food, the only hope that we have to survive. Why? How long are you going to keep on doing this? Omalei, so the head of the Bionim, sometimes you have this kind of problem. He was the head, so to speak. But he says, my Abed, I can't stop it. He said, the Iyamina Lumi, they come to Lee. He said, if I try to stop this, so my own guys are going to kill me. The only thugs are going to butt me off. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Chazali takanzal v'didi de'efok. So Rabbi Yochanan said to his nephew, you can imagine, the dark at night, the famine, the Roman, the drama, the Roman the troops surrounding Yerushalayim, and the people are dying in the streets. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh is trying to figure out a way in Eitzah with his nephew of his, who's the head of the opposing team. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh says to him, let's put our heads together. Let's try to come up with an idea that I can get out of the city for a little bit. That maybe I can go outside and have a secret meeting with the Romans. Maybe I can do something to try to help the situation here. So Chazli Takatla be the April. Maybe I'll be able to have, and this is the theme that appears throughout the sugi called Patola Pursa, that I won't be able to solve the whole problem. And the Gemara says later on, Rabbi Yochanan realized that the place of Mikdash was never going to be able to be saved, but I could still salvage a little bit for the Jewish people. So Amalei, so now you can imagine the scene that's going on there in the dark of night. So now the nephew, the head of the Yonim, is trying to help his older uncle to try to chop a way to get out of the city. Amalei, Nokot Navshech Bekitsiri. He said, send out the word, let the word be spread in town that you're sick. The Lazikuli Amal Shai Lebech. And people should come and know the Rebbe's sick, the Rashi's sick, the head of the base is sick. People are going to realize they're going to come and visit you. The Aisin Midi Saria, the Adne Gabach, the Lemu Denach Navshech. Said, and then spread, let your Tamidim spread the word that you died. So it'll be a little natural. It won't sound like so crazy. All of a sudden, Rabbi Yochanan just died, stuff like that. So let the word spread. First you were sick, and then you died. And bring something that near you, underneath your bed, that doesn't smell too good. So people will realize that you really did die. Your body is already starting to smell. But only have your own tamidim carry you out. Don't let anybody else carry you out. The mice was alive. So he said, if you can have a stranger, someone else can come and carry out, they're going to, he's still alive. That's not too well. So only make sure that your tamidim will go leibach in shacharina, that no other person should be involved in carrying your quote-unquote coffin out of the city. So the call out, that because people are going to realize that you're light. Inuyane the chaya kol b'misa, that people are going to realize there's something funny, that you don't feel like a dead body. Dead bodies were whatever this means, that they felt heavier. So Abinachi. So bottom line is he kept that he followed the advice of his nephew. Nichas Barav Eliezer b'tarech v'rushu b'tarechya. We know from the Mishnah Pikiyavos that Rabbi Yochanan b'tarech had many tamidim. He had five very very special close tamidim, and two of them were Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, two next great tanoim, the next generation. Rabbi Eliezer was actually the Rabbi of Rabbi Akiva. So we're talking about two generations before Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua were the two younger tamidim at the time who were designated to be part of the secret plan. Kimatul Pischa, when they came to the gate of the city at Yerushalayim, so the Bionim, the Jewish guys who were trying to fight, they didn't want anyone to go out. That was the last thing they wanted, was to go out of the city and try to make peace with the Romans. So by the Mitkarei, so they were suspicious what was going on. They thought maybe this was all a ruse. Maybe Rechavadak was really alive. They wanted to stab the coffin to see whether he was really alive or not. If he was alive, to make sure he wouldn't be alive. So Amalu Yomer Rabban Dakru. So the people around the Tamidim said to the Jews, they said to them, "Come on, guys! So you're gonna stab the dead body. The Romans are gonna make fun of us. They're gonna say that they stabbed their own Rabbanim. How can he do such a thing?" So a ball of mitzvah thing. So they were still a little bit suspicious. So I said, "Okay, we're just gonna dump him over. We'll toss the coffin over. And we'll see whether he quote unquote wakes up or not." So Amalu, so they begged him to the Rabbanim to see the what's going on here. The poor young Tamid of Elazar ben Yeshua trying to get the Rebbe out of the city safely. So Yom Rabban Dachlu, it's gonna look bad for the Romans. They're gonna chat. You're gonna see. So finally, the guards, the sentries, they looked the other way. Paschulei Baba. So they opened up the gate and they actually let the Tamidim escort Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai supposedly to bury him. So they weren't exactly going out to bury him. No, so they went out. Kimat l'osam, when he reached the Roman post, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai got off the stretcher, whatever it was, and he goes up to the leader of the Romans, and I'm a shalom aleichem malta, shalom aleichem malta. He says, shalom aleichem to the king, shalom aleichem to the king. So Amalei, so the officer at the time, the general, was a little taken aback. He said, "Mechayv is trek tala." He said, "Yechayv misa twice." Not a good way to start off the conversation. He said, "I'm going to kill you twice." Why chared the lama alkana? He said, "First of all, I'm not the king, not the Caesar, and because malka, and you call me the king, you're making litzos, making fun out of me." The Sue, and then he said, "The malka." He said, "If I am the king, ara idna ma'ala was the gaboy." Why'd you wait so long to come and be Makam upon him? You should have come and visited me a long time ago. Give me the proper respect, proper covered, and I am the king. So that was the Baruch Habo from the Roman general. So this trip looked like the mission was gonna end before it started. So there's a fascinating Musaf, I don't know which is the Bali Musa story, that Maria says that the general says to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, says, "If I'm really the king, where were you until now?" So the story was told that Rosh Hashanah, so first Rosh Hashanah, the Chazan gets up and he says, "Hamelech Yoshev," and somebody fainted in shul. They heard what Hamelech, they just fainted and collapsed. So they brought him to him. What happened? He said, "When I heard the word Hamelech, this Gemara flashed before my eyes, because the emperor said to him, the general said to him, 'If I'm really the king, why'd you wait here? Where were you last week? Where were you 6 months ago?' So he said, all of a sudden, I realized that Rosh Hashanah is the Melech, and the Rosh Hashanah saved us. Now you come to me, Rosh Hashanah. And where were you? We're in the middle of July. We're in the middle of April. He said, you've been waiting so long to come. So I got so terrified that I thought they fainted on the spot. So anyway, it's interesting. So bottom line is, this Rebbe general is giving Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai a little bit of a tough time by saying that he should have come before and he's making mitzvahs out of him. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai didn't lose his composure. I'm going to let you know. Almost love Malta. No, listen, you're saying that you're not the king, so the top of the base. Ibramalkat. He says, no, you are the king. You don't know about it. And in fact, the Gemara tells a minute later that as this conversation is going on, a messenger arrives from Rome with the good news that the last Caesar had died, and this general had just been bumped up to the new emperor, the new Caesar, whatever it was. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, I'm telling you that you're for sure the king. How do I know that you're really the king? That if you wouldn't be the king, you wouldn't have that privilege to destroy Yerushalayim. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to let somebody, Tom, Dick, and Harry, some lowlife Roman soldier, be the one to destroy Yerushalayim. It's only going to be the top of the line. The Siv, the Halavanon, but there you pull. The Pasuk says in Yeshayo that the Levanon, which refers to the Beis Hamikdash, is going to fall in the hands of the strong. The Ein Adir El HaMelech, the Siv, by Adir, man of a grave, available, no, Beis HaMikdash. So the word Adir refers to a king, and the word Levanon refers to the Beis HaMikdash. So I'm telling you, if you're the one who's going to be in charge, you're going to have the mission to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, you taka are a king. Udika Amras, Imalkana, Mailaka Asfika, boy, Arainna. And now your second claim, your second question to me, so if I'm really the king, why didn't you come until now? Beyond this, but Loshev Kidan. What do you want from me? He said, I would have come to give you the royal treatment 6 months ago. But we got these guys, these Beyonim, led by my very own nephew. He didn't say that, but they're not letting me out of the city. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai thought that he had kind of deflected the two claims, the two timers of this of the general. So I'm Amalei, not 100%. He said, Amalei, he responded back that Ilu Chavish of Dvash. The dark on Kor Chaleh. How you show me this? A chavis from the dark on. So he said to him. He said, if you would have a barrel of honey, and there would be like a dark on, like a dark on, in English, we're dressed in a dragon, like a snake or something. If you have like a snake, wrapped around it. So wouldn't you do everything to get rid of the snake? You would have to break the barrel. It would destroy the honey. You have to do whatever you can to get rid of the snake. So he was trying to say to him that you should have figured out some kind of a way to get around these guys, to get bump off these fellows. So So he didn't have a way to answer. So some of the conversation ended at that point. So the Gemara goes on to say that even though Yochanan Zakkai didn't have a chat to shut down this Roman general/emperor, so maybe there is something that he could have said. Maybe he could have had a response. Might say he didn't have it, but maybe he could have. So he was trying to continue. Well, what theoretically could have continued this conversation. But the bottom line is the Rebbe Zakkai is there, and the Roman general/emperor is actually going to give him the time of day. And we know, of course, at the end of the story, about getting out, there's ultimately how we receive the ability to get out of Chachamea. We have to wait later in the week for the continuation of the story. After that, tomorrow, there's not going to be a Shia. Hopefully, it's a Shia on Wednesday, but we'll pick up.